All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is currently 6:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. The first item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, led tonight by Councilmember Ferguson. I
pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, a nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks everybody for coming out. Usually we're not nearly this popular. Good to see some faces out there though. We appreciate people coming to participate in the process. Next up, we have public comment. No, this is time set aside for public comment on non-agenda items. So if you have comments about an agenda item that appears later, please save those for the time for that agenda item. As you can see, there are a lot of people here tonight, and this agenda, I believe, might take a bit tonight. So I'm going to limit any public comment to 4 minutes per individual. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items?
Nick Allen.
Address?
285 South Illinois. So last week, I had quite an eventful week with my family, my son, and the City of East Helena Police Department went above and beyond. So I just want to publicly thank them for their efforts and getting my son home safely and where he needed to be. But without them, I don't know if it would have been done. So. That's all I got.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good hearing. Is there any further public comment on non-agenda items? Anybody online names?
Yeah.
Chief Sanders just can't get enough of us. Man. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items online? Seeing none. All right. Council Fernie, you have the minutes for January 6th, 2025. Those minutes are presented to you. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none, Council. I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All righty. Now it gets the fun stuff. Departmental reports. First up, our rock star, Amy.
We do have a written report from the judge in there. We've been processing the tax forms, getting through the W-2s and the 1099s and all those. Building permits have hit kind of a lull just because of the season, I'm pretty sure. But park reservations for the summer, we've been getting those like crazy. So all the graduation parties and all that stuff, those are already planned. We've got Adventures in Cardboard coming again, various barbecues. So we're all ramping up for summer, and that's all I've got unless you have questions.
When you say because of the season, are you referring to initial spring or second spring?
Continuing spring.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Police Department Acting Chief Royce.
Good evening, everybody. don't have a whole lot to report. January has been busy so far. To date, we've conducted and or participated in over 325 calls for service, most of them being traffic stops. We've also completed 16 new cases this month. A few of these cases required additional units from the Sheriff's Office, probation and parole, and the City of East Helena. So I want to say thanks to those agencies as well for giving us a hand. The three of us spent a lot of hours the last couple of weeks dealing with a few things, and getting their help and support was needed. So I just appreciate that. On a fun note, this past Friday, Officer Kyle Butler responded to a medical call in county jurisdiction in which a female was unconscious and not breathing. Officer Butler started CPI, and when medical assistance arrived, they applied the AED, but was advised not to shock as a pulse was being detected. So it is his second life-saving award that he'll be receiving in the last couple months. So his brother, Zach, has two life-saving awards, and Kyle is catching up with his two as well. So good job to those two.
Yeah. We're going to start at the pally on the front of the building.
Yeah.
Currently 2-2 in the bottom of the fourth.
So I'm hoping at the next city council meeting we'll be presenting Kyle with another certificate. hopefully the female victim will be. Other than that, I've got a few meetings this week. Next week, CGCC, high risk offender training, co meeting. I know there's one other, but busy times. Anyway, any questions?
Thank you, Acting Chief.
Thank you.
I hopefully don't have to say that much more. Seems like there's an extra word there. I don't, but we'll work on it later. Kev, you want to do something?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Really quick. It'll be fast.
Just a couple things. Shane and I had our annual every 3 year DEQ inspection on the wastewater plant. Pretty much went like we expected. They had some pretty good concerns over the violations we've had in the last 12 months, as you guys know, with that sludge basin turning over and the phosphorus and ammonia violations. It went fine though. They were super happy to see that we're aggressively taking the path forward that they are, recognizing the fact that that plant is at its life. So they are going to issue a violation to us, just saying that, you know, over the last 25 years that sludge probably hasn't been managed properly, which is a very true statement. I mean, they just weren't running enough sludge, you know, not intentionally, but just didn't realize that they weren't getting enough of it out of there. So they said 1 to 2 months before we see that response from them. So probably sometime in April, we'll see that. You guys need to pull out your calendars, and this is just a head shake. Yes, Kevin, I think these dates work, but looking at the date for the public meetings to start discussing wastewater rate increases. So looking at a daytime Monday, February 23rd, and then an evening, February 24th, probably an hour and a half to a couple hours. Those first two meetings will just be presentations on a refresher to the public and to us on what those next phase of improvements will be at the plant. And then March 9th and 10th, again, Monday day and a Tuesday evening, more just an open house where the public can come in and ask us questions and all of that good stuff. So those dates.
What time are you talking about the evening date on the 23rd?
Well, we can decide that.
Wow.
I don't know. I was six to seven, 5:30 to 7.
Well, I've got another meeting, that's why I'm asking.
What works for you, Don?
I don't know what time that will get over. Maybe make it for a little, maybe make it for 6 or whatever. It starts at 4, but
okay. And the other thing, if I mean they're gonna be repetitive, those meetings. So if you guys all didn't want to attend, you know, the 23rd and 24th will be the same meeting at 2, just giving the public opportunities to be present. So if you guys want to.
I'm not available.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, we'll work through that. I just threw those out there. So then after we get through those, April will consist of rate hearings just during the normal council meetings. And then adoption in that May timeframe is kind of the schedule of where we're at with that. So I'll reach out to you guys individually and we'll get some dates. And obviously prior to that, be sending out mailers and stuff. Kelly and I have some meetings on Monday to work on the mailers and everything, and I'll start getting that process going.
Fun.
Would there be an option to join that remotely at all?
Yeah, we can zoom. Well, yeah, we can zoom it. I was thinking about doing it at the rec hall.
Yeah,
we don't have internet.
Oh, okay. And
figure that out.
I don't know the schedule yet, so I'll just keep you posted, but I'm competitively not available, so.
We'll figure that out.
Thank you.
I had a couple meetings with water rights attorney John Bloomquist and Betsy Story. We did get the water reservation questionnaire turned into DNRC. That was issued back in 1992, which I think I was still in the public school system somewhere in my life. Kind of crazy that we're responding to something that was issued that far back. The other thing we're moving ahead with is we are just taking care of the water rights reservation for Wiley 4. That's not due until 2029. I hope the work here is still in 2029, but to be honest, I won't remember it in 2029, so we're just going to do it now. Get it taken care of, out of the way. And then lastly, you guys have my report, but starting to work on fiscal year 27 budget stuff, just starting to get estimates from contractors and those kind of things. So it takes time. Getting responses is challenging sometimes. So if there's projects or something you would like me to look at, reach out and I will start to do so.
So
barring questions.
A couple things of importance here to you guys on this one. I'd like to first, and this is hard for me, just to congratulate Shane on his work over the past couple years, recognizing the sludge issue and tackling it. And unfortunately, we were just decades behind on that. So look for some remediation efforts on our end and some plan for that going forward. We've internally had some discussions about where to go and what our plan might be with that. The system is what the system is, but manpower is something we're looking at. We can only have, it really requires you to sit there and watch it, like watch it, or it overflows sludge. And I don't, that doesn't sound fun. I mean, I don't know.
Shane calls it a poop volcano. So
yeah. and that yearly, and that 3-year inspection is a big, big deal. And just the work you put it on that and how clean the plant was, much different than any of his personal vehicles, is was great. So yeah, it was good to see a lot of work put in there. So thanks to the crew.
Here, I'm sitting down.
All right, Fire Chief Campbell.
Maybe you're already drinking this, I'm sure. First off, I want to just throw some thanks out to Kevin and the guys from the city for helping us out. Also to Amy for all the work she does keeping the trees. In my life, somewhat simple. Without them, it would be a much harder job. So coming up, I've been contacted by the Insurance Services Organization, or ISO. This will be our 5-year inspection. It's going to happen sometime in February or March, just depending on when some things get back. I have the initial survey information that I'm working on right now. I'll be working on that for the next couple of weeks. I'll be shooting the water project parts out to Kevin and probably Brad as well. The telecommunications part will go out to Zach Slattery at dispatch. You can fill all that out for me because I have no idea what they do out there. They'll get it all back to me. Then I'll call Amanda. And we'll set up a time to get insurance, to get our rating. Why is ISO important? ISO is important because it can affect your insurance rates of your house. So if your rates, or if your ISO rating goes up, we're currently a 5, which is the best we can get without paid personnel. So if that rating goes up 6, 7, 8, your insurance rate will accordingly match those. So we wanna, we've been working pretty hard the last couple of years to try and get everything done. B and I spent this last weekend in the fire station fixing things, looking at things, counting things, putting things together. She's working upstairs on some paperwork stuff, finding some records. We did have our computer die last year. Fortunately, I think we were able to get almost everything out of it. That's the guys from Rocky Mountain Computer helping us out with that too. So we're getting ready for that. The other thing is we received a notice from Hartford Insurance, who is our accident insurance.
Liability.
Yeah. And they said they were not going to renew us this year. So I've been in contact with them over the last few days trying to figure out what's going on because the lady at the insurance place that we deal with has no idea what I'm talking about. So, I'll keep us up to date on that. Either way, I think whichever way it goes, we're going to switch carriers to the company's called VFIS, Volunteer Fire Insurance Services. It's who most of the companies or who most of the stations around the valley use. They give us a really good rate because they are dedicated just to mile and both repairs. I'll keep you up to date on that though. Electrical work, we're going to have some electrical things done down at the fire stations and just simple projects that need to be done, adding some emergency lights when the power goes out. We're going to do some little bit of wiring so that we connect up our generator so we can get our doors open when the power goes out because that's a major accomplishment with that done. So. I received some requests from the people that are doing Iron Horse Landing. They just need a letter from me going forward so they can get their DEQ permit. It's basically the stuff that we talked about that I would like them to have corrected, and they did everything that we asked. So I'm totally happy. We're totally good with our water flow rates down there. So I'll be sending them out a letter with an approval to move forward with their application. We're going to jet out of here because we have training, but I just, while I have the moment, we just want to, as the fire department, we want to show our support for Ed, for Chief. He's done a great job with us. We work well. The whole police department's been fabulous with us. I'm hoping that maybe in the next year we can do some integrated training between us. It should be a good year. So, and the other thing is, when you set dates and times for those public meetings, let me know. We can try and get up on our leaderboard as well. So we can get some advertising.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's it for me. Does anybody have any questions?
You got a quick one. Did former chief maintenance include you in the ISO procedure the last time?
He did not. It's It's not a big thing, and I've talked to him several times, and he's going to come down and work with me.
Okay,
on
sure.
This one, just to make sure that everything goes smoothly.
That was what I was going to offer. I think he'd help you out, but you're already on it, so cool.
Yeah, he's been really good. Anytime I have a question or a problem, I don't understand something, like this insurance thing. I call him and I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" And he's like, "Oh, this is where it's at. This is where the file's at, so I don't have to go searching through 19 file cabinets stuff like that." So yeah, we're getting on top of it. So
sounds good.
And we'll stay that way and let you guys know what's going on. More questions.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Thanks.
All right. Moving on, we have no unfinished business. That's always nice to see. So that leads us to our first item of new business, which is the appointment of Ed Royce as the Chief of Police. As you guys know, we have gone through the hiring process. Judy took part as well as me and Pete. At the end of that, I think Ed rose to the top. We're very comfortable with Ed. I will speak for me and that, but everyone within the interview panel thought the same view. We're excited to promote Ed for that position. And we've reached the point in that procedure where it is the council's turn to weigh in on that. But I will say again, and that is the view of the hiring committee, that Ed is by far the best candidate. So at this point, I'll open it up to public comment on the appointment for Ed Royce as Chief of Police. His fellow officers are considered public right now.
You're smart. 100%.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. So seeing no public comment, Council, this is in your hands. A motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Well, now you got another job. Congrats. It's super lucky to have you. Really appreciate the work you do for the city.
No, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for believing in me. I look forward to working with you guys for years to come as East Helena grows. There's going to be lots of work to do, but I look forward to work with you. Planning on leading with integrity, professionalism, and transparency. So, anyway, thank you for the opportunity.
Very appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Next up is the request to use Kennedy Park for the Montana POW MIA ride to remember August 14th and 15th. Is Jonathan here? John Jay here? Go ahead. But just so you know, you guys have it in your packet as well, the written request. Go ahead.
Mayor and council members, thank you for allowing us the time. I'm assuming everybody here is probably fairly familiar with the Montana ride to remember. Typically, we have been doing it at a park in Helena. Helena has grown immensely, obviously, since it has been this for 13 years. And traffic situation, the lack of ability for the local police department to help Sheriff Dutton and his reserves have been more than gracious in helping us, but become quite dangerous for us to get 250 motorcycles out of Helena. And we had a discussion in our meeting that we thought it would be very nice if we could use your park because it has a memorial in it. It would make access to Highway 287 much easier than trying to go through all the lights in Helena. So, this is a non-alcoholic event. We get riders from all over the state of Montana, Canada, and Idaho, along with sometimes other states as well. Friday evening is a registration. We do a barbecue in the park for the registration. So, it's included with the registration. Saturday morning, we're there early to do registration again. There's a brief ceremony, and then the bikes will take off and go to West Yellowstone, which is the completion of the ride. I haven't confirmed it with Sheriff Dutton yet, but his gentlemen are usually more than happy to help us get to the county line. I'm hoping that courtesy is still extended. We used to have a highway patrol escort for the entire thing. That diminished a couple of years ago based on the ability to have enough officers. What we have obtained since then is the sheriff out of Virginia City, and one of his officers take their days off and come up and will take us all the way to West Yellowstone. So we still do have a law enforcement escort all the way through. It's just not in the chief. And they work in cooperation with the other counties that we pass through on the way through. So I guess what we're here to is answer any questions that the city may have for concerns. From our standpoint, we're hoping the city will get behind it because it should be a good event for East Helena as well. Nice little parade route on the way out of town, and it should generate some business for the businesses in town. So as chairman of the board, I'm here to answer any questions you may have on it. My president, Lisa Wieland, is here, as well as a couple other board members of my organization. So anyone have any questions or concerns about what we'd be looking at?
Sure. So I appreciate you looking at us. Great. Thank you very much for considering yourself. What a cool event you're putting on. We'd gladly offer our police to get you both blocks out of town. I mean, if you need that, you know. You know, with lights and everything, we'll do it the whole bang. We'll go
conversation with him about traffic control and things of that nature as well.
Yeah, if the folks
are willing to allow us to do that,
we'll certainly work with you on anything in town that we can do. At this point, though, I'd open up to any public comment on the request. Any public comment online? Seeing none, council.
You have on here JFK or Main.
I would actually prefer the Main. My thoughts would be, providing the chief would be okay with it, to work out a parking situation for that many bikes. My thought would be to take the parking lane from the park down probably just about to your office. And if we get overflow from that, we'll figure out a way to deal with it. That way we can come just out onto Main Street, down to Lane Avenue out on 287, and done. We got one traffic light to deal with instead of however many intersections and what have you. It's a family event. We probably get somewhere between 180 and 250 motorcycles. You never know until the thing, and we get people that drop off at Three Forks and people at that, they've been Dennis and whatnot. Knocked on wood, in the 13 years we've never had any issues as a result of the ride. We have an escort vehicle in rear if a motorcycle breaks down, and then we have the great availability of the law enforcement escort, which is huge from my standpoint as ride pet.
So I'm sure Ed can speak to this well. We do what we can regarding the public right of way, but people also park their houses.
Yeah.
So the other parking issues there, but anywhere you park, it's public right of way, and you certainly are welcome to use it at that time.
Is Main Street Park available on this 14th thing?
Last I looked, they're both available.
And so, would you be requesting a fee waiver for this as a nonprofit as well?
Well, I sure wouldn't be objecting to it, but I will be honest with you, but the city of Helena is more than happy to charge us for everything you do. We bring in porta potties, so there's no issues that way. We pick up our own garbage.
So we'd already have porta potties there, correct? And you are requesting a fee waiver?
Yeah. Very much like to
thank you.
A fee waiver if the city saw that.
The king of subtlety. Yeah. So that's the request, guys.
I'll move to approve go ahead, Lisa.
I was going to just add, this ride is always held on the third Saturday in August, so consistently we would like to, if we move the ride to East Helena, it would always be the third Saturday in August. This ride is open to all. You don't have to be a motorcycle rider, you don't have to be a veteran. This is to honor the 53 men from Montana who are still unaccounted for. As well as the 83,000 across our great nation. It's a very emotional ride. This will be our 13th year. So I appreciate you guys considering the move.
Thank you.
Well, with that, I'll move to approve the use of Main Street Park on August 14th and with a fee waiver for the OWMIA ride. Remember.
I motion to approve the use of the park and a fee waiver.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you considering us. Thank you, guys. All right. New business number 3, approval to move forward with the application to the Montana Board of Investments for Rhodes Hills Subdivision and the SID bond. Whew, I'm going to talk now. Okay. So as you guys know, last time we went through a whole bunch of this, I thought it was important you guys took some time to collect your thoughts regarding it. I think there is some caveats. We went over it a little bit today with Pete. Pete's excused. When we have these holiday weekends, he has to kind of make some choices on where he goes. And apparently he took a better offer today, which was Deer Lodge. But we're not that excited. But we did have some conversation regarding this. There's some things that Pete would like me to bring up in relation to this from a legal standpoint. I'm not playing lawyer. I'm just telling you, I'm just Pete's. Kevin was in the office. He can correct me when I mess it up. As you know, this is a very new idea and a new funding example. The House bill or set up, it's House Bill 505, right? Presented this. It's a very unique opportunity. I think what we're asking for, and I think the ask needs to be kind of clarified here at this point, is to, if you guys were of that mind to say the council is prepared to move forward with the application to the Board of Investments, but would like to have a final say when all the details come out on that exact application. But they would like to, if you are of that mind, you would like to indicate your whatever you would like to move forward with that application this time. One of the big issues, and is Pete's major issue here, and I'm gonna let Crystal speak to it a little bit here, is Pete has concern in that bill. It does mention that impact fees cannot be a part of these, and he wants it codified in this some way agreement that system development fees and our system development fees are not impact fees and are required to be paid. And so that's very important. And so he would require some sort of, in your motion, stating that that is a concern of the cities, and it wants to make sure that that is moving forward with your motion. He would like to make sure that you guys understand that that is the view of the city, is that the development fees are not impact fees, and we still would expect those to be a part of this, the function of this request. So at this point, I think we've had a lot of discussion about what it is from people like me that really aren't that smart. So we have smart people in the room. Brad's here, Crystal's here, that can answer questions regarding this. And I know it's complicated, and we've had 2 to 3 weeks to look it over. I would leave it up to them to, like, if you guys have questions, and Jacob's here as well to answer questions. We have all the players in the room that can answer all the questions. I think there's probably going to be a few questions from you, but that is the kind of the request that I think that we wanted to bring up. And that would be what the motion or what the request is in this agenda item. So at this point, I would open it up to the public, unless you guys have any specific questions. But anyway, we'll get to you guys. So is there any public comment on this request? Anybody online? Is there any comment online? All right, so council, I know you guys are going to have tons of questions. So this is the time to ask of whoever you want.
Well, we had a robust conversation this meeting. Yep. Courtney, I appreciate your working. Yeah. Thank you for all that you provided the last time. We had really robust conversations. I don't know that I have.
Well, I mean, there was 3 weeks of thinking about it. I think I've had some different thoughts popping in my head of that time. And I would like to, again, Courtney's amazing. Courtney's leaving us, though. What are you doing here? Yeah, I got that information today. Unhappy. But yeah, but Courtney's amazing. We really appreciate her efforts. And I wanted all the players in the room before you guys, because I know you had time to do some thinking. I know Donnie probably had a couple things.
Well, I was trying to find my list.
That I
had, and I think I deleted it.
My wife, because
all my questions were answered. So
my wife puts mine on the table every morning for me to do. Yeah, I get a list too. Well,
I'd write it down, but I can't read my writing. So
I guess I will ask one then pertaining to the development fees. To Courtney, from your legal opinion and the way the bill is written, do you foresee that being a problem, or that those two things will be seen as the same?
So the caveat and clarity that Pete wants about that is entirely consistent from my perspective with the legislation. The legislature was really focused in 2023 when it adopted House Bill 819, which was kind of the initial pack of legislation, about a particular treatment of impact fees, and impact fees being like used as a term of art to mean impact fees adopted under those really specific impact fee statutes. Those statutes were really under a microscope
in that session as a whole. And that was just one of the ways that they were pulled into this housing bill. System development fees, as I understand it, I wasn't involved in the process of approving those, but from talking with the mayor and with Kevin, it doesn't, the impact fee statutes are really, really specific. There's a very specific process and a number of studies that need to be done. And they're adopted typically in a really broad sense. So if you would be paying an impact fee related to the impact of the development on police, on fire, on water, on sewer, on, on a number of different kind of city utilities and services, the system development fees with respect to water and sewer are really part of the rate structure for those utilities rather than being, capital IF impact fees. So I guess from my like legal perspective, that is a request that's consistent with the intent of the legislation.
Thank you.
Any further public comment or questions from you guys, I guess, at this point?
I guess I'm okay with it if Pete's okay. I have to rely on him because I don't know.
Pete, from a legal perspective, is okay, as long as we make sure we codify it. This is just, and again, I think this will, there are specifics to be ironed out, and I think Jacob could speak to those. I think that it's fair for you guys to have kind of a initial indication that you are ready to move forward with this application, but I think it's also fair for you guys to request that to come back for you with details involved, and I think Jacob and the city would work together with that, and that's kind of what we're looking forward at this point, is a green light to work together with that and to see what those details are and kind of hash those out. Would you agree, Jacob?
Mr. Mayor, the process here is it's an application. It's not a final approval from the council on the municipal bond. We will iron out all these details with Courtney and Dan now, and then it will come back to the city council for final approval once all that's put together and the Board of Investments has made their pledge for the bond. So this isn't the end of the story. It's just a continuation of that, which is that final approval.
Thank you, Jacob.
Well, I myself would like to see it go forward. I would, before anything is final, of course, we need a lot more information. But at this point, I would like to see it go forward and see where we end up.
Are you making the official?
I will make the official. Oh, we want to word it.
Move to indicate the city's willingness to move forward with the application contingent upon the system development fee being included in this application.
Thank you for reading that.
I did not read that. That's how I would say it, right? That sounds similar to what you're looking for?
That is what I'm...
I only went over about 12 times a day with Pete and figuring out what we were looking for here. So I have a motion.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, guys. Thank you. Next up is the agreement regarding engineering costs of water infrastructure for the Rose Hills subdivision. This has me, but do we want to let Jacob talk about this for a little bit? Go ahead, Jacob. You can handle this one. I think this is kind of more your baby than mine.
All right, Mr. Mayor, council members. So we're requesting... or put forward an agreement on the engineering costs related to the water infrastructure. Of course, the housing crisis hasn't gotten any easier in Montana, and we want to get Rose Hills underway, and we'd love to have homes constructed, ideally in 27. In order to do that, sequence of events has to move forward. We recognize the municipal bond is not finalized, but in the meantime, we think that we have a pretty good understanding of what this infrastructure is likely to look like. And so Habitat for Humanity is willing to take the risk in offsetting the cost the city has for Brad and the RPA crew moving forward to designing the infrastructure, fully recognizing if the municipal bond doesn't go through, we would probably have to pump the brakes on future engineering and maybe go back to the drawing board on figuring out how to get Rose Hills built. But in the meantime, we'd like to keep momentum going, specifically in relation to what we think is going to be a water tank that will need to be constructed. And there's only a certain number of contractors that need to perform that work, and we want to get on their schedules so we can get this underway. So that agreement is basically Habitat saying we're going to pay those fees incurred by the city for the engineering, recognizing that if the municipal bond doesn't go through, we're out of luck. Use it in some ways in the future.
No, that's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jacob.
Thanks.
And again, this is just for the initial engineering fees, not for like the John Deere green paint. It'll go on it later on.
Yeah, the Betty Sue loves Billy Bob.
Billy Bob loves Charlene.
That's Charlene. Yeah.
3 foot high letters. Very specific in the song. 10 foot heart, 3 foot high letters. Any public comment on this request? Seeing none. Council.
Move to approve the agreement regarding engineering costs for water infrastructure roads that have been committed.
I have a motion to approve. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All righty. Ames, you're up. New business number 5, fiscal year 25 budget amendment.
Oh. So the accountant pointed this out while we were doing the AFR. All of them were pretty much errors and omissions, but we have to do the budget amendment to get them right with the auditor. So Highland Meadows Lighting District, it's only $191, but it's a tiny little fund, so it makes a difference. And what that was mostly the advertising and the mailers that had to go out when we changed the rates. We didn't anticipate that cost when we set the budget, so asking for $191 there. The police officers training fund, that one has always been around just specifically for training. What we forgot to do was say that we were going to spend it. So that was $822 there, which actually we've had that one a while, and that actually clears out that fund. The upside is we can't forget it next year. And then this interfund operating transfer, that was ARPA money. And when we bring in the ARPA money, we're required to put it in this 2993 fund. But from there, we transfer it to either the water improvement fund or the sewer improvement fund, depending on which one we got that draw for. So in the end, it's by the time it gets to those funds, it's a wash. We can only spend, they only give us what we can spend anyway. What I didn't do was book enough money for the transfer from ARPA in the first place. And I think what happened was is that I accidentally put it on revenues because I overestimated revenues by about the same amount. So I think that was just bad entry work on my part when we were doing the budget. But all that money, you know, ARPA zeros out. It all got spent on the projects, everything that came in. It was just a bad entry on the transfer from ARPA from our ARPA fund to the project funds.
Amy's taking too much responsibility for herself. Clearly the third one was Tommy. He jumped on the keyboard and that's what happened. And we just didn't catch it. Tommy wants to run the city. Tommy's going to have to, you know, get his numbers better. I don't know. So yes, these, you know, standard yearly accounting adjustments. Any public comment on those budget amendments, adjustments? Seeing none, council.
Make a motion to approve resolution 637.
Have a motion to approve resolution 637.
I'll
and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Alrighty, that brings us to the proposed changes to the Missouri River Drug Task Force Memorandum of Understanding for the Task Force Officer Operations. You have in front of you the MOU that we've been asked to sign by the Missouri River Drug Task Force, as well as the current one we have. Major difference being, you'll note on the original, we are a party to that until, I believe, June of 27. We have signed on until that point. And The revision on the new on this one here is they would like to include Border Patrol activities under the banner of the MRDPM. Chief Sanders spoke to you, I believe, 2 meetings ago regarding his concerns for that and with the city, and we gave you some time to marinate on it. I think it's important before we go further and let Chief Royce talk about his views on it. I think it's important to just to have the clear understanding that we are party to the other one until June 27th. It's just whether or not we sign on to this revision of our different MOU. So it's not end all or be all. It's our choice to whether or not sign this MOU. And that is the variant here.
Again, good evening, everybody. Just to start, my involvement with MRDTF is limited. And I want you guys to know that up front. I participated in 2 meetings to this point. So knowing the ins and outs of operations, I'm limited to understanding everything that happened. I wasn't a part of creating the MOU, the old one, the new one. I didn't participate in any of that. With that being said, I want to begin with saying that I wholeheartedly believe in the mission of the task force, and that is to fight drugs. We all want drugs off the streets. We want that as officers. Drugs are a problem, and we want to put an end to that. I appreciate MRDTF's work that they do. They do the work that we can't. We don't have the resources to investigate. We don't have the resources to do all those man hours and investigations, so it falls upon them. They've been great. Our role in it up to this point has been we supply them with information, and they take the information and they work off of that. That has not changed. Even up to the last couple weeks, we have provided them with some information and they appreciated it and are currently investigating some of those things. However, this new MOU makes me nervous. Adding the Border Patrol to a local task force, I think, creates some liability issues for the city of East Helena. In the MOU, it states that investigating officers work off policy and procedure from the agencies that they come from. What policy and procedure does the drug task force follow? Who's liable if something should go wrong? And I think that's the concern that I have. Because my involvement is limited, I have been in contact with Chief Petty of the Helena PD, Chief Sanders, who's not here, well, he's here tonight, but he has expressed his concerns. Chief Petty and the City of Helena are still fighting their issues from one incident this past summer. And Chief Petty has said it has just been an absolute nightmare for them. Chief Sanders, I believe, is an expert in MRDTF, in the drug world. He's a former DEA agent. He has been around this for years and years and years, and he has expressed his concerns to you in terms of liability, in terms of what their drug enforcement authority really is, Title 21 enforcement. And what I have researched and found out, they do not have drug enforcement authority. So if you're adding a federal agency into a local law enforcement, to me, there's a recipe for bad things to happen. Who's liable? Who's going to clean things up? Our role isn't going to change. We're going to continue to feed MRDTF with information. If there's a way we can assist them, we will do that. We want drugs off the streets as well. So it's my hope that even if we're not a part of MRDTF, that they will still investigate, that they will still come out and take care of some of the drug problems that we have in East Helena.
To that point, Chief Royce, we would not be voting on whether or not to be a part of the MRDTF. We are voting on whether or not to sign this MOU. We are currently engaged, part of the MRDTF until June of 27.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Just,
no, that's okay. Fine. So, anyway, that's what I have for you then.
Yeah. Thank you. Is there any public comment? You probably have to be back up there, but you might use some up-downs on this one. Is there any public comment on this proposal, this MOU?
Hi, my name is Sheriff Coroner Leo Dunn, who's the Clark County Sheriff's Office. I am the chairman of the Missouri River Drug Task Force. I've been involved in the task force for 20 some years. So I do have a well-rounded opinion and background to back up what I'm going to say. I'm disappointed. I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I'm going to respectfully disagree. So here's why. Number one, if you read the agreement, that we're not saying that the Border Patrol is going to come in and do immigration. And that seems to be the fear that's being spread around, that the door is going to be kicked in, people are going to be taken, liability, all of those kind of things. Your officers have just as much liability, so do mine, every day. So if you're thinking about this increases your liability, we do have policy procedures for MRDTF. I've been part of writing them, approving them, and I'm not going to get into the federal part, but I think if you want to make this political, which it has, this was approved by the Gallatin County attorney, who's a Democrat. She wrote it. She likes it. We're trying to take off human traffickers. We're trying to take off sex traffickers, people who are abusing kids. That's who we're going after. We're also going after drugs if we can. But if you want your, I'm telling you, this will affect your community. I haven't stepped up online, but there's a lot of chatter online because it's been brought to me about, oh my God, did Helena get out of the drug task force? Why would they do such a thing? Well, they have to respond to their citizenry just like you would. You'll make a decision based on what you think you represent. But I'm here to tell you, as chairman and as sheriff, because I do have an umbrella, we've had that conversation, an umbrella of enforcement over East Helena, that nobody is going to go kick an indoor. I meet with ICE, I meet with Border Patrol, and I talk to them. The worst thing you could do is say, we're not going to talk to you, because all of a sudden they have authority to be here. If you talk to them, you know what they're going to do. So as far as not signing that agreement, it does send a message. If you think we were foolhardy, that's your opinion. I understand. Well, I don't. I think what your citizens want us to do is to go after drug traffickers, sex traffickers. We're not in the immigration business. I don't know where that got started. My guys and gals have never went out and did immigration work. I tell you, if immigration during a shootout, we'll go. And I would hope that you would too. They're law enforcement officers. And to not do so, in my opinion, you should be charged with negligence. We're after the worst of the worst, and we need to insist on that. That's what we assist. I meet with them and say, please tell me you're going after the worst of the worst. I've heard rumors about going to school, that Border Patrol going to school and waiting for the parents. I belong to Western State Sheriff's Association. This very subject is controversy over United States, but in the Western State Sheriff's Association, we have audience with Tom Homan. The opportunity to bring our grievance. Oregon, as you might know, is a little bit more left of center, but they're there. They're at the table, and they want to talk because the Oregon people can't apply for some of the grants. So is there a reason to visit? Is there a reason instead of just going to our corners and batting down the hatches? Let's not do that. So I'm going to ask you to join in. I did, and I'm going to. I'm going after people who are making at risk. And let me give you a quick story, and I'll sit down because you didn't invite me to speak all night. So I stopped a person because they didn't have their lights on. It's at night. This was last year. Just didn't tell him, hey, buddy, turn your lights on. You're free to go. He couldn't speak English. I can't speak Spanish. It's 24 below. I want to get this over as quick as possible because I'm supposed to use my phone for a translator. But as any of you know, with the new phones, 24 below the heat, your finger doesn't really work. So I dial up some translator. I do my best. I'm not going to give him a ticket. He was super nice. But what he was an illegal immigrant. He's an indentured serf. The cartels, if you think cartels are not here in Helena, East Helena, you are daydreaming. They're here. And these people have been trafficked. They're here. And if you go to Walmart, you go to these other places where they're sending money home, they're not sending it to the family. They're sending it to the cartels so the cartels won't kill their families. I have empathy for them. I really do. They came for a better life. I've been down on the border. I worked shift down there. I've seen what happens. Those coyotes, what they call them, traffic people. They treat them inhumane. One of the tests that has to be done for women coming across is they rape them. Now, you don't think that causes an increase in our social services. Do you want that in the community, Ellen? I don't, and you're still part of my community. Well, that's why I'm on there, and I hope you join me. That's the deal. It's not about immigration. That has nothing to do with it. I've been doing this job for 41 years, and I hope to keep me on a little bit longer. But I took an oath to a constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of Montana. That's my first order of business, to protect, defend the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of Montana. So that's why we looked at that and said, is this going to help us in where we can find these traffickers? I hope you're still all my bosses, even though you may live in East Helena, wherever you live. Hope I'm doing right by you, and I hope that you understand. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, you're good. Wait a second. Because you're the president of the
chairman.
Chairman, okay. So we had an interesting session with former Chief Sanders, and because your informed opinion, I think it's valuable to the council members. His concern was the convolution of the Border Patrol and the drug task force. Can you speak to that from the perspective of this? So they can have maybe a greater understanding of why the intermingling of a federal agency that focuses on immigration with a drug task force, so that they can understand what that is going on there. Because that's, I think, the concern. Sure.
So we've worked with Border Patrol for the last 20 years. We've just never had this MOU. It's never been a political issue. We've worked with them to help find these traffickers and all of these kind of things. If you think that, I'm sorry, that sounds disrespectful. To understand that these drugs often come out of Mexico, they come from China, they come from all those places. So when we get a case, we're also designated a high density traffic area, HIDA, high intensity drug traffic area. As a local or state, we can't say, hey, feds, would you take this case? But another federal agency that we work with can. So they can help us with intelligence, finding out, okay, this person, whoever they are, where they're from, they can get intelligence quicker than we can because they have a system. They can tell when someone's come across the border. They can tell us a lot of things that even child abduction, they're a great resource. We've worked with them. This is not new. It's never been an issue until now. So how we use them, we're not using them for immigration. That's the point. Yes, they're there. What we're trying to do is say, okay, hey, Border Patrol, can you give us two? We'll put two in Bozeman, and we'll put two in Helena. You provide us intel, all those kind of things. As going out on the street, busting down doors, no, that's not what we're looking for. So we have a partner that not only them, but we partner with the Department of Homeland Security. We partner with the Guard, the Army, whatever it takes to stop this action. So we've partnered with a lot of federal people, a lot of federal agencies. It's never been a question until now. I'm happy to answer those questions, sure. But we do that because this is our home. If you come to our home peddling your drugs, we're going to do everything we can to bring you to justice or get you out, one of the two. Not our job to get you out, but if you're in my jail, it's because you've committed a crime. You're an illegal alien, you still have to answer to your local charges. So I hope that that answered. You asked the time, and I gave you the history of the
No, thank you. Yeah, that's helpful, I think, to the council. I appreciate your perspective.
Okay. I have a question. Yeah, too. If we have always had an agreement, or maybe we haven't had an agreement per se, with Border Patrol, why do we need this written up this way at this time? I mean, if we've worked with them for the last 20 years, that's
what changed.
Because we haven't
what changed
them in this office, to answer your question, Mr. Councilman. We haven't had them a seat in their office. We're trying to get a designated spot where they sit here. They're assigned here. So it's haphazardly, whether they're there or not. But it's such an increase now that we've asked and received permission. And this has been on the agenda for quite some time. Everybody voted. And then things blew up. And that's why. So one of the things that we've been trying to preempt or just maintain our nose above water is to have these two in Helena and two in Bozeman.
Who proffered that to the feds? Did they come in and say, we would like to be here? Or did Missouri River?
We've been asking for some time. Could you give us a couple agents to sit? And we're very specific to put sideboards on even before it blew up. So we're not in the business of doing immigration, but we do need them because there's a lot of things they contribute to a positive. And once you take the politics out of it, you'll see it. And that we do make our community safer.
So in this agreement, is there any language that restricts the activities of the Border Patrol agents acting in this thing to drug offenses?
I'll refer you to the, I think I read it. Well, I know I read it, but I read that specific question toward almost the last paragraph in that, where they are restricted to operate, you, and I believe you said it, offer up to work within our policy and procedures. MRDTF does have policy and procedures.
I don't know where I see that in here, but there is a point where it says, just to clarify, the MRDTF members will remain under the supervision and control of their individual agencies.
Yep.
Which in this instance for the Border Patrol agencies would be the Border Patrol, correct?
If they're going to operate with us, they will operate within the policy and procedures of the Missouri River Drug Task Force, which we have policy and procedures for.
But that's not what this says.
And it doesn't preclude them from conducting immigration authority in this anywhere, correct?
Yeah, it does.
Could you point to where it does that in the agreement?
I don't have it in front of me. Can I borrow it? I got it all. I think it's like 5 pages on my computer.
We'll schedule, sure, and we'll get to the point where
I've been want them to do immigration. if something comes up that is, I mean, we would do immigration, they would do immigration.
Our officers do not conduct immigration. There's federal agencies that do it. They would still be, they still have that legal authority to conduct those with without this agreement. Right. This has no curtailing of their federal authority to conduct immigration efforts in the city. It does, however, restrict the city's involvement as a task force included with immigration people and whether or not the city's officers will be included in those activities. Federal agencies would be included. They could do whatever they want.
They usually do.
They will. They're not going to be stopped in any iota.
I think to answer your question, maybe I pointed up wrong at that point. That, no, we can't tell them you can't do your job. But if you're in with us and we run into somebody who is an illegal immigrant, we're not having anything to do with it.
Cool. To the council members understand, are you of the mind that if the council approved the signing of this MOU, that city officers working under the umbrella of MRDTF could basically check out if it was an Immigration Enforcement Act?
I think the answer under question is 11.3.
Yeah. So don't delegate authority to state our own personnel.
We have our own record retention schedules.
Illegal immigrants. They have to do their job. We're not part of it. We're not a 287G. You aren't. I'm not. My jail's not. So we can't legally do it. Meaning we don't have the authority to detain based on immigration status. Now the immigration officer, if we're dealing with them, it's because there's some illegal activity of the state, either state, local, or if we're honoring a federal. You can't tell them they can't do their job. So that's, I'm not looking to have a job, having a job painting a wall in a federal facility. So
I think that, so I don't want to speak for Chief Sanders. He's on, former Chief Sanders, excuse me, is on the call, and he may want to speak here, but that was the concern that he brought up to the city originally with this there.
Yeah.
The confluence of the drug enforcement with the federal. He wasn't, you weren't here when he spoke. I think he would like to speak. Chief, would you like to speak to that? If not, that's fine as well. He might be on mute, so whatever. I don't want to speak for him. He spoke to the council. I just think kind of to paraphrase what his concerns were, that's why that's the selection.
Okay.
So they could have that understanding. At this point, is there other public comment?
I actually read the 11.3 in the last.
I read 11.3 and it last talks of record retention.
Passports, revenue documents, and may not be directed by PCA. So they do have to offer this as outlined in the passport revenue.
Is it, well, at this point, I would open up to further public comment. You're welcome to. Please.
Try to make it quick, too.
Name an address, please.
Oh, Denise Feller in 108 North Montana. It's right down the street. I'm the type of person that will do things for people. So I got called over the weekend by a friend from Helena and said, have you heard anything about the Missouri River Task Force and Helena opting out of that? And I said, no, I haven't heard a thing. Why would they do that? And she didn't know. So I thought I'll look at people, call people, and find out things. I put it on the neighborhood, East Helena neighborhood, and got a lot of comments about it. Why would they do that? There's a contract that goes till 2027. And that's the Lewis and Clark County contract. And I wrote back, well, can a city just opt out of this? And they didn't know for sure. So it sounds like maybe they can. But I just wanted to say, people were upset about that you would opt out of Missouri River. We like that, you know, as a community, that they can come in and help us get rid of drugs in East Helena. I think it was one of you guys that told us one time we were down over here that East Helena is a perfect place for drug activity because it's little, doesn't have a lot of police officers, and the roads get them out of here real quickly. They can get onto the freeways and get out. 2 days ago, I read, Montana is one of five Western states targeted for heavy involvement in cartel drug production and movement. That was in a Missoula paper. And also, it said it's high for human trafficking. We don't think that, but it is. And there was a series on TV about this. I think the more help we get, the better. I like Border Patrol agents. I think they're doing great. We have a huge forest border in from Canada, 600 miles. And anything that we can do to keep drugs out of from our kids, all the robberies, every day on the internet, it comes up a robbery 2 miles from your house, 1.5 miles from your house. I just think anything that we can do would help. And I can't see, I thought when they said Helen had opted out because of Border Patrol agents, I thought, why in the world would they do that? And then I thought, well, they just had those people screaming in their city council meeting about they wanted police changes, police policy changes. So I thought maybe it had something to do with that too. They were appeasing a group of people in Helena. But everybody I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of people, a lot were coming tonight, but they all had baseball games or basketball games and stuff like that. So they want us to be a safe community and anything we can do to make it safe. So if it's adding a couple of Border Patrol agents who know what to do and what to look for, because like they said, talked about it, that they said the police force, law enforcement officers aren't trained in a lot of that stuff. And they can't be because they're doing other things in your community. So I think if we get more of the patrol agents, it's great. And if you need a petition going, there's a lot of people who would sign it for East Town.
Thank you for your public comment.
Sure.
Is there any further public comment? Yeah.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council, Chief Royce, congratulations.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. Thank you to the police.
Name and address, please, before you start. Just so give us.
Theo Krug and I, 2660 Pinkerton Drive. Okay, so I also hope that City Council, Mr. Mayor, that you will, in fact, sign the agreement, and that we will remain in the drug task force. I concur with Sure, by your name, so Leo, I should know that.
Yes.
Leo, and I concur with him, and I would encourage City Council to vote yes to stay in the agreement for multiple reasons that have already been stated here, but I'm just going to repeat them because I think this is important. We are a border state. There is a tremendous amount of organized crime activity here. I know that for those of us who are law-abiding, we don't see it, and we don't want to see it because we're working, we're doing other things. But we have really serious problems here. I've spoken with several federal agents who have worked in Montana in this area 5 years. I've asked them about this drug force task force. Have you worked with it? They have. There's a lot of positives that we can glean from working with this task force. They said one of the biggest ones is interagency cooperation, which is huge. We are a small town, so we need all the help we can get from larger federal agencies. And to not work with them, there will be consequences. So City Council has mentioned liability. I think the question I would like to pose to everyone here is, what is the liability if we opt out of this agreement, out of this task?
To be fair, that is not the proposal in front of the city. The proposal is to whether or not to sign the MOU with the revisions. We're still in the MOU until June of 2020. So we're not saying we're bopping out. If they choose to remove the city, we're not signing the MOU. That would be on them. But this is simply to sign the revision of the MOU, including the Border Patrol, not to opt out.
Okay. So sign the revisions. Sorry.
Yeah.
Be clear.
Yeah. Apologies. To sign them and to stay in, if it's not fentanyl coming down from the border, then it's drugs coming through Mexico. There's 50 major pipelines in the U.S. We are one of them. You got Mexican Mennonites in Lethbridge, okay, all the way pipeline down to Mexico. We would be fooling ourselves if we, again, focused on Border Patrol as the trigger, right? That would preclude us from being part of this interagency cooperation with them, okay? We need that intel. We need them. And also, it would be horrible if we didn't sign and we didn't stay as a part of this drug task force. And if people, I know.
Same thing. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, sorry. I'm good. I just got called this morning to like come and talk. I was like, all right, I'll try and read this over. But anyways, I'll cut this short. I agree with the other Leo here, Sheriff Dutton. Please consider your stance. Thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment?
Hello. Excuse me. Hello, I'm Scott Walter. I'm board chairman of the East Helena Public Schools Board of Trustees. However, our board has not done any type of action related to this matter, so I'm speaking on my own behalf. My address is 2598 Winchester Drive here in East Helena. I'm going to talk pretty much very quickly and very obvious. Our community in East Helena has a reputation and a history of drug issues. And sadly enough, those are things that are continuing to occur. And although the East Helena Public Schools isn't directly a partner of the Missouri River Drug Task Force, we see the benefit that comes or stems from the actions of that agency or those interagency partnerships. All you have to do is do a quick internet search on Google, and you can see all of the happenings where East Helena has, apprehended individuals within our own community that have been part of the drug trafficking. If we can keep the drugs out of our community, we can help keep the drugs out of our kids' hands. And as a school district, that's our primary concern. Based on that and that alone, I would just ask that the council continue its partnership with the addition of the Border Patrol as part of it. As I look at the agreement, if there's something that ends up going awry within that partnership as a result of adding them on, there is a termination clause that will allow the city to be able to pull out at any time for any reason, with or without cause. And so therefore, just as easy as they could remove East Helena from that partnership, East Helena could also remove itself from that partnership if it seems like it's overstepping the bounds. But to have additional law enforcement, additional resources available to that task force, I think is a win-win situation for us all. Thanks.
Thank you for your public comment. Any further public comment?
Vince Bray, 2655 Colt Drive. So my wife and I own a handful of small businesses here in East Helena. And then I serve National Guard. I'm here to talk to you guys in support of this. I'm not in no way, shape, or form represent a military opinion on this. It's just me. I know a lot of you. I consider you guys honest people who have great intentions and want to see great things for East Helena. And one of these things is improving the drugs that go through East Helena, reducing human trafficking and those kind of things. I think overall, you've heard a lot of really, really good points from several different people on this. School systems alone, I think that's a very obvious, easy one. As far as the county goes, I think it's a pretty easy choice there as well. This is a non-political opinion. This is simply what is best for East Helena. And I think you're kind of hearing a unanimous voice tonight as to, you know, what the constituents think. And that is a pretty positive review of doing our best as we can as a community to reduce the child trafficking, or excuse me, the human trafficking and the drugs and selling. Some of the benefits to this, it's a national program, reduces costs for us. National programs, anytime we have access to that kind of stuff, it's going to reduce the burden on local, and then allow us to use some of those bigger facilities that can actually attack some of the stuff like fentanyl. Fentanyl's killing, it's like 1,500 people in Montana in the last 10 years. That's a pretty astonishing number at this point. Some of the concerns I've heard raised are the cost concerns and the liability concerns. What I would say to that is there's a pretty significant cost and liability for not doing this. As a business owner, my job is to evaluate risk and liability on a daily basis. I look at this and the risk and liability of not being able to offer these services, or at least not being able to sit at the table where you can have a say in how some of these things are going to be applied. And a seat at the table is a big part of this. You sign this MOU, you have a seat at the table. You're allowed at that point to make meaningful change, make suggestions, and you can do what needs to be done in order to affect policy. If you do the, I'm going to take my ball and go home, you no longer have a seat at the table. And there's still, as many of you have said, they're still going to be doing the immigration stuff here regardless. And now we're not going to know what they're doing. So I think when you look at it from a risk and liability standpoint, having communication is going to be pivotal. Having no communication or less communication was very rarely a good thing. The other concern being optics, participation in this endorsing national politics. I want to say again, I don't have a political opinion on this. I just have what I think is a easy element opinion on this. And I would say, with respect, opting out will not change federal policy, and it will not make a meaningful signal to our voters. It will send a signal locally, but I don't think I don't think you're going to see anybody make a statement about who's telling us federally. The data is pretty clear here: 1,400 grams of methamphetamine and over 2,800 fentanyl pills. Human trafficking has gone up, almost doubled over last year's. These are things that if you can get any assistance on, I don't know why you wouldn't. Especially if signing that MOU is the thing that allows that. So just kind of wrap up, talk about the county, talk about the schools. We talked about 11.3. It does say in there that they're limited to immigration, and so not whatever the off order says that they're allowed to do, and that they, by doing this, it gives us transparency, it gives us the ability to help form policy. I apologize, I'm a little nervous. But,
you're good. You're doing great.
Yeah. But yeah, I appreciate your guys' time.
When you refer to 11.3, are you referring to the old agreement or the revision?
The new one, it's the very last.
So I think 11.3 is BPA is remain under HVM supervision, not be directed to perform duties inconsistent with the federal authority. But also says MRDTF members remain under the supervision and control of their individual agencies, and MRDTF, as outlined in task force governing documents, may not be directed by BPA dash IS. I think you're looking at I think you might be referring to 11.4 in the new one.
11.3.
Revision. What'd
she say? Members remain under the supervision and control of their individual agencies and MRDTF as outlined in the task force governing documents and may not be directed by the BPA. So as I understand this, it's as outlined in the task force governing documents.
So the two border patrol agency placed in the communities would be under the direction of the federal agencies.
They'd be
their individual authority, correct?
The task force governing document. So Missouri River Task Force is the governing document. That's who they have to answer to.
Is there any further public comment?
Thank you. I will.
All right. Dan, go ahead. We know who you are.
Members of the commission, my name is Dan Resnick. I'm superintendent of schools here in East Helena. I live at 11 Cloverview Drive, but I've worked out here for 25 years. During that time, I've always known in the background that the Missouri River Drug Task Force is out there, and they're working on our behalf to keep our communities safe and to keep drugs out of our communities and by default out of our schools. As a person who has been entrusted by the school board in East Helena and the parents of this place to try and do everything we can to keep kids safe and provide the best possible environment, I can't imagine why we wouldn't do everything we can to enhance those protections and supports. As Chairman Walter talked about earlier, our environment, our relationship in the schools with Missouri River Drug Task Force has been pretty low in that we don't have a lot of interaction with those folks. But the benefit that the schools get from the work that the task force is doing has been very high in that they're keeping a lot of bad things away from our kids. And the fact that we don't know everything that they're doing all the time is, as somebody else already said, we don't necessarily want to know what they're doing because we want to work and do our and live our lives and take care of our kids. And so this opportunity to enhance the work that the Missouri River Drug Task Force is doing, I think is an opportunity that the council should take seriously. And I'm here to speak in favor of signing the MOU. Thank you.
So while you're up there, Dan, just a question, because again, it's not vote is not to remove ourselves from the Missouri River Task Force.
Right.
What variant do you see for the school district in providing border patrol agents as a part of the drug task force?
Well, I'm not an expert in drug trafficking.
Me either, or border or immigration.
And I'm proud to tell you that I'm not.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that a lot of the drugs that pass through this area are going from border to border. So I think that extra intelligence factor that we would be able to glean, or that our folks that are working on our behalf on the drug task force would be able to glean from that cooperation with Border Patrol, is going to increase efficiency and just the knowledge base of local law enforcement to be able to be more effective in intercepting and interdicting with people who are bad actors and trying to do things to hurt us or our kids.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that perspective. Any further public comment?
May
yes, sir.
I'm resident of East Helena, maybe
I'm You're going to be the actual first one that's spoken from East Helena, so that's great. We've had a lot of Eastgate so far, but not no East Helena.
John Willoughby, Winston, Montana, Broadwater County. Oh,
nope.
I'm going to give you a little background, and Leo is somewhat familiar with some of it. I did 22 years in law enforcement, 12 of working on federal task force as a local agent of the state of North Dakota. Moved to Montana a little over 20 years ago. I will tell you the benefit of having border patrol agents. Chief, I'm going to ask you how many of your officers speak Spanish. You know how many of your deputies?
But they have an app.
How many deputies do you have? You ever tried to use one of those apps?
Yeah.
Try and get toilet paper out of your holder. It'll work a lot better. Okay. The benefit to these guys is they're available to these people and they are working together. If you have someone that you're engaged with while you're doing a warrant, while you're working an undercover investigation, and you've got somebody that, trust me, 70% of them can speak English right up until the point they get arrested.
Yeah.
And I can say that stuff now, Leo, because I'm all. But then instead of having somebody there, there's not a border patrol agent in the country that doesn't speak Spanish fluently. Why? Because they die if they don't. They work those borders. That's a prerequisite to being a border patrol agent. If you look at them as a useful tool instead of something objectively that's going to supposedly harm your community, you will find that having two agents in Helena is one hell of a task. And that's my opinion. I've been out for a long time, but I've got friends that died in this business.
And I'm a little passionate about the drug thing because I worked it. And if you think you don't have a corridor right here on 287 going by your front door and on 15, you're sadly mistaken. You've had it for 40 years. I worked it when I was in North Dakota. So it hasn't gotten any better. It's gotten a hell of a lot worse. And the drugs have gotten worse. Methamphetamine. We never heard of fentanyl when I was working. How many times have you guys administered Narcan? If a Border Patrol agent who can speak Spanish keeps somebody alive in our schools, it's worth every damn penny. Sorry, that's my
opinion. Thank you for your public comment. Appreciate it. Any further public comment?
I've got Wagner, 106 West Groeschel
nice.
Street. I'll talk about a couple things. This young man did a really great job on the liability aspect of it, and I'd like to address that. I understand the liability. I'm a businessman. I understand the liabilities that come in, especially when you bring in somebody new that you don't know and you have to work with. I completely understand that. It's scary, but I think there's a greater liability of not having these gentlemen in. The media has done a great job of portraying these Border Patrol, ICE, all these guys as jackboot thugs, and I think that is completely out of line and disgusting. And I've got a great friend that used to be Border Patrol. He's now moved on to Homeland Security. I would take 100 of these kind of guys in my community. Not enough, in my opinion. These guys are family members, family men, wives, children. They have an absolute love to protect your children and your family. You would not believe the stories that I hear from him. Okay, he's in this community, but he's a little stretched out. He's all over the place in Montana. But the stories he tells me are frightening. And I hear them on a weekly basis from him because he's a pretty good friend. So I recommend that this community sign off and agree to get on with them. These guys are great guys. They're not what the media is portraying them to be.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? This is a neighbor. This is
Jonathan Heslett, 105 West Riggs Street. Thank you for having me. I am a volunteer firefighter, EMT. Worked for the state for many years. Currently for the hospital, some own my own business. Say that partially I have had a lot of experience around the community, seeing drugs, working with the task force, going to conferences and hearing from the task force. But they do a great job, love what they do, very supportive of that. I also have had some run-ins with Border Patrol, and I love the US Border Patrol. The only problems have been Canadian Border Patrol because they ask me questions that I feel like are not their business because I'm American. In my time at FIRE, working for the state, I have a lot of experience with the cross-boundary coordination, collaboration, working with other people, working out differences of who do you work for and what policies do you follow. And it just requires human interaction. It's really easy to get really balled up in the big picture of, oh no, who's in charge? Am I in charge? What if you do something that I don't like? Well, the reality is they are out there. These Border Patrol agents, other law enforcement officers, they are here. They are doing their job. They are protecting us. And we are here. Our law enforcement agency here in East Helena is out there doing the jobs, protecting us. And anytime we can coordinate and collaborate, communicate, work together is an improvement for this community. And I know the chief mentioned that communication will continue. It is a good thing. He is all in favor of that. I do appreciate that. But being concerned with the liability of making it official, in my experience with government and interagency coordination, is actually the opposite. If we just try to do the under table coordination, then we have liability. And it's a common misconception that making things official, being protected to do our jobs, creates more liability because there is a lot of liability in law enforcement. They have probably the hardest jobs in the country. I used to want to be one until I realized that they have a hard job, so I became a firefighter.
because I like it. I'm all in favor of signing this to support having the federal partners coming here to bring in more help to protect our community, more communication, more collaboration, and working together, because we're all doing the same job. So we need to do it together. Thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment in the room?
Mayor.
Kip, go ahead.
Thank you. Kip Johnson, 706 East Clark Street, business owner, East Helena City, police commissioner. I won't beat a dead horse. This is a tool. I'm a mechanic. I have been for 40 plus 50 years. I welcome tools in my toolbox and two additional assets to our department for Intel, I think, would be a welcome addition. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your public comment. Any further public comment in the room? Is there any public comment online? Okay. Some chiefs now.
I have one other question. I think for the sheriff, in this agreement under 11-1 federal authority, you know, there's some bad actors in some of the federal group. I'm not going to argue that one way or the other, but in this it says they are allowed to make warrantless arrests. How does that figure in with the Missouri River Task Force?
Easy. So if you warrantless arrest, if you see something and you see an act of crime that happens in front of you, that's a warrantless arrest. You, the chief, his officers do the warrantless arrest often. I do, well, infrequently, because I find a desk.
Yeah, but, I wasn't sure the term. That's okay, why I'm asking.
Yep. So warrantless arrest means you observe something that's of illegal. Either it's a, for them, it could be a federal code that's illegal, or for us, it's a Montana code annotated. We generally don't arrest on community or board of
ordinance.
A public
ordinance.
Ordinance, thank you.
Municipal ordinance.
Right.
Municipal ordinance. At our little town, it's an ordinance level, but maybe.
Don't build a site on the ordinance, but if we see like a fight, domestic abuse, walking into that, if we see a robbery in progress, so they're considered by the Constitution a warrantless arrest, and we have to meet certain parameters, and so do the federal.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was odd that it's added just under the feds here. Right. It's not added under anything else.
Well, I have you up there, sir. Just a couple questions before we turn over to the council members. Whether or not the city of East Helena is, as I'm asking you as the chairman of the task force, so that they're aware of what they're doing, whether or not the city of East Helena opts into this MOU, the revision, the two officers are going to be part of in Station Helena either way, correct?
Yeah. They're
so here. There's no variant to whether or not, other than the city's participation.
You chose not to.
$4,000 and some, but the department would still have the opportunity to communicate with the task force and in any of their drug issues, correct? And you would still work those?
Let me be real frank.
You wouldn't work them?
Huh? They're not going to be on the top of our priority because you didn't take seriously what we're trying to do. We'll still work them, but are you helping us? I mean, I'm not trying to leverage you, but if I came to you,
you kind of are.
Huh? I'm just telling you the truth.
Right.
I would ask the chief, do we respond and help you out? Do we fill shifts if you're short?
Absolutely.
Hmm?
You do.
Yeah, we do, yes. And we'll continue to do that. If you have a drug problem, we've worked with you. We've worked with Chief Sanders to clean up. It's been mentioned that hotbed of East Helena is the 24-hour casinos. And we've worked with that. We may have pushed them to Boulder, but they're out of East Helena.
No, we appreciate your efforts in this community greatly.
If you have a crime, we're not going to overlook it.
Okay.
But it just seems that it feels a little bit disingenuous for you to do that. That's all. I'm just being upfront like you're being with me.
Yeah.
After we're done, we're done.
But the task force as a whole, and you being the chairman, would work any tips provided to them, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're going to do that. I mean, that would be pretty petty to go, yeah, well, we're taking them or we're going home.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. I have, turn over here one more, just Chief, if you don't mind, a couple questions.
All right.
Can you speak to what the variant is for the city here? The variant for the city. So I think there's been a lot of, and I'm going to talk back to your original comments about the importance of drug in this community, and this department's focus on that and are caring about that. And again, we are members of the Missouri River Task Force, and we're not opting out of that at this point. That is not what this vote is about. This is not to opt out of it. It's to whether or not we want to participate in this MOU, which includes the border control. That is the variant here. I would like you to have the opportunity to address the council about how we handle drug abuse and its importance again, because you said that first. I think that's important to be addressed here.
Again, we legalize drugs off the street. Right. We do. We want bad guys in jails. We want drugs off the street. Very strong support for MRDTF. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. And again, working together is better than working alone. All I'm saying is there should be some concern for liability issues. The federal government is going to do what the federal government is going to do.
No matter what.
What's that?
Yeah.
So when that happens, who's liable? What are the risks? Who cleans it up? And that, again, I'm not saying we want drugs in our city. We don't. I'm just saying I think there's concern that needs to be being considered for that. As it was stated earlier, there was no MOU, including the Border Patrol years ago, but now there is. Something's changed. And again, I'm new to MRDTF, so my involvement is limited. For me, I would need some time to find out more, see how it goes.
Thank you.
But again, we want drugs off the street.
Thank you, Chief.
No questions about that.
I just wanted that addressed again because I think it's important. So seeing no further public comment, I'm assuming we'll have a wonderful exchange of ideas here with the council. I'll turn it over to you guys.
I'm pretty much said what I needed to say.
Okay. Is there any other help?
So technically, or whatever, we have until 2027 to decide.
We are members of the under the agreements. We are members until June of 2027. Okay. They proffered a revision, which we could choose to sign or not, and that is what is in front of you. But we would still be members and contribute our financial support as well as our support. We may not be in this part of this revision agreement. That's what you're proffered in front of you guys. And this is something you guys should be making that choice. And the only variant is the Border Patrol aspect of it. There's no, again, yay drugs, boo drugs. It's just the Border Patrol aspect.
And I've spoken with the sheriff and I've spoken with the chief, and the concerns that have been raised by the sheriff and that I expressed to the chief are precluding ourselves from this agreement does preclude us from coordination with the individuals that are part of the toolbox to help us ensure that we're removing drugs and human trafficking off the streets. And I think that clarifying these roles and responsibilities is a terrific benefit, since Border Patrol has been a part of this agreement for decades, and we did not have it clarified who was doing what. So just as what was mentioned earlier, making sure that we are clarifying roles and responsibilities so that liability falls where it may, is appreciated and welcomed. I also think that it is a much greater liability to not participate in any way than the alternative, which is not having additional resources to support us. Couple of other things that I wanted to just clarify too is that I feel as if it does remove our liability, not make our liability greater, being a part of this agreement. In addition, clarifying those roles. I just wanted to make sure. The other part is Border Patrol agents will be stationed in Helena regardless and in Bozeman. So why not work with them to ensure that we have the assistance that we need? Drugs continue to be one of the most common crime in East Helena.
There's a lot.
And as we were told the last meeting, the most significant part of the city's evidence, ensuring the city has all of these tools rather than choosing to not be a part of it is a greater liability to my family, my kids, and a number of the folks that have come and that are not here tonight. So those are some of the pieces that I found to be compelling and see no reason to not participate in the agreement that provides us more tools and opportunities to help our community.
Question. You mentioned the Border Patrol has been a part of this agreement for decades.
It's not a part of the agreement. They've been a part of the task force.
Have they been a part of the and this is an ancillary agent, any federal agency. They weren't stationed here. They were a part. I mean, yeah. Okay, so.
And one of the concerns that was raised by one of the officers before is that they had to come down from Haver, and that was a challenge.
Sure.
If and when there was an issue. Well, having them closer to us is only a benefit. But not being a part of this agreement, as the sheriff mentioned, is going to not include us in that conversation and in that coordination to the extent that we should. That's what an MOU is for, is to clarify roles, responsibilities, and liability. And I only see benefit in that, not the detriment.
You work with all, just out of curiosity, you work with all federal agencies, I'm assuming, through this task force, right?
What?
This task force works with all federal agencies, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd assume that. But yeah. This would be the only one with stationed members, the only federal agency with stationed members as a part of it, though.
No.
There's other?
Department of Homeland Security has an intel agent there.
Okay.
The National Guard has another intel agent there. So we've got a fair amount of people that can help us get the job done, and this only enhances.
When those individuals were assigned to this task force, was there MOU revisions at that point?
Wasn't a political hotbed.
Politics out of it. It's a functional change in the group. So was there an MOU change? Yep. That's my question.
Yep.
There was.
We decided that we would bring it before everybody and who's in who's members and ask. So that's why.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other council comments?
I move to approve the agreement.
The revision?
The revision for the MOU.
Have a motion to approve the revision.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Opposed. It passes 3-1. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Moving forward, we have the mayor's report, which is far less exciting than all that. Let me tell you that. It's very less exciting. Went to the chamber meeting, coffee with the chamber this week. I go like maybe once a year because it's on Tuesday after a holiday and a third one. It has very specific. So it was fun to see the people there and talk with them regarding the goings on around the community. A lot of fun, a lot of engagement with the community. Good stuff. Chief Royce was there and there was a lot of support for him and his appointment. So that's good to see that he's out there and his officers and the people in the community are supportive of that. So good to see that word's already out and Ed, that speaks highly to you, and you already as a hour and a 15-minute maybe chief already have a great, great name in the community, and the people are supportive of you, and that was awesome for me to see. So I appreciate you and your efforts and your team, and as well as Wes was there, and you get to see what a good job Wes does when he speaks to some of the stuff from our community. I appreciated your stuff, so it's always good to kind of reach out and touch that. Also, Wes drugged me to to a interesting thing, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit less. I'm sure what you're going to want to speak to as well, but a company had reached out to us, and then they're interviewing communities. It's kind of what they're doing regarding possibly building a facility here, a very, very lucrative facility, like $200 million facility with lots of employees, and seeking out East Helena as a possible site. I think there were six other sites. They're going to go, I don't know, talk, but it was very interesting to see the whole commerce thing where they go do it everywhere. There's three in Montana and three in Idaho, is my understanding correct? And so they did the three in Montana. The Montana ones I know are Great Falls, we'll say East Helena. They're in Butte. Yeah. So
can you point on the map where they're proposing a burial, or did you really understand that?
I do. So
there are a couple of places.
Yeah. So there's a couple. One is the airport has property within the city limits of Helena, adjacent to the Lamping Field, which would be in the city limits of East Helena, which is the other consideration and the East Helena consideration. So the western part of the Lamping Field, as it abuts the airport, would be the Helena consideration, and the East Helena consideration would be the Lamping Field, which is, I mean,
right here,
like the big blue mark on the left. Great to see, and really, I guess what stands out to me is I want to just express my pride in just how the East Helena folks went about their work with it. And so, Dan, I'm going to really compliment you. These people had the superintendent of our public schools driving them in a public school bus to see the areas and see where they might be. And I think that's really unique to East Helena. I think that's a pretty big deal, and I think we got to be proud of that. They had our athletics director / facilities guy. You got a lot of jobs for Mergel. I'm not sure what they all are. I don't know that I can read the whole resume. He's got a lot of degrees. That's what you get for being a football coach for a long time. So you get a lot of degrees. But he was a part of that as well. And Wes was there for the commerce part of it. I was there for the school part of it and the commerce part as well. Really proud of this community and how we, I mean, it's, I'll tell you this much, and this is probably going to a little too far behind the curtain because we have a long night, but they asked questions that I thought were neat. And one of the questions they asked was, I understand an old smelter town. I understand you guys, I understand the vision and who the people are. And they understood me, but they asked Helena, Mayor Dean, who's an awesome representative for Helena, did a great job as well. They asked her to describe, you know, what Helena is. And let me just say that it doesn't come across as clear as what we are in East Helena and what they are in Helena. So it's really proud of how we operated as a unit on that thing. Now, does that mean they're going to build a $200 million facility tomorrow in East Helena? Probably not. But aim for the stars. We got potential for these things, and it's good to see that we get there, and it's good to see that the members of this community that are impactful can jump up and be there at a moment's notice to help that out. So those are kind of the two big things I was involved in. I was really, really proud to be a part of it. Thank you, Wes, for the invite, and thank you, Dan, and all the school support. I know that they went to the CTE classes. They spoke to this no good welding teacher named Mr. Harris. Maybe related to me. He would probably not admit that, but the guy actually looked at the assignment the kid was doing, picked it up and goes, is this what you have them doing? And Casey, I'm going to call him Casey. You can call him. Casey is like, well, yeah, they have to build that out of cardboard. They have to design it. They have to make it to scale and they have to weld it. And the guy's like, this is what we do. And it was the light bulb. And that was their project manager who was seeing that. So very impactful and a great time. So that's about it for the mayor's report, which again is generally pretty boring, but that was a fun experience for me. So I'll move on to councilmember reports. Councilmember Dahl.
I have nothing to report.
Councilmember Leland.
Don't know that I sat in on the interviews.
I think that's awesome. We ended up an okay guy, I think. Yeah. Oh.
I heard bad things.
His morals outnumber his hairs on his head. I almost done this. Councilmember Feist.
Did have a number of calls and conversations about the MARC ETF. And so I appreciate your work. I appreciate you being here, Sheriff, tonight. And then folks that spoke as well. Otherwise, something that came up at Coffee with Chamber this morning was the East Helena Community Review. There are some hometown meetings that we've been having. School district, again, very participative in that. And others, so for folks that may not be aware, the Montana Economic Developers Association has funded a community review of East Helena, which is a economic development as well as workforce development opportunity for us to learn a lot more about our community from residents and those within the school district, and to determine what is needed in East Helena, what future economic development, workforce development needs we have. And so a lot of you may have gotten a survey. Please fill it out so that we can get some impactful information, but there will also be some community meetings about it in the upcoming future. So you'll hear more about that and try and get that information at the library. It's here at City Hall, and then mailers that went out from that. So we're fortunate that they chose to fund East Helena because we're a fast-growing community. And
Another thing, I was reelected the chair of the Lewis and Clark, Missouri, or excuse me, the Lewis and Clark, Montana Opioid Abatement Trust for the Metro Region. It's a beautiful acronym.
Wow.
There's $69,000 left this year for projects that to be funded. Applications are due March 1st for anything that has to do with treatment, opioid use disorder, or youth prevention. One of the projects that was funded under this group, which is a county commissioner, City of East Helena council member, City of Helena commissioner, and two members of the public, is a position that's at the sheriff's, at the jail. And that position is able to do intake exams and determine whether or not an individual has opioid use disorder initially. So they don't have to take them somewhere and utilize officers outside of the jail. So it's been impactful and helpful. Starting in fiscal year 27 or July 1, there'll be another $469,000 available. And again, I encourage in the school district, we need youth prevention programs to apply if they have ideas or thoughts. The commerce visit with the aerospace company, and then did coffee with the chamber, and which was great. 35 folks there today or so. It was a well-attended event, and glad to have them. And then there was an MBAC board meeting tonight. Nothing new to report, but the business Montana Business Assistance Connection with the Economic Development Authority for the Tri-County area, and nothing new to report on that. But that meeting today.
Thank you. Yeah, Councilmember Ferguson. All right. Now, well, we have the legal report, but Pete is excused. His two issues were conquered there. Well, we have is the payment of the bills. And before we get to that, I would just like to say, I appreciate everyone coming out tonight. This has been a spirited and fun thing. We don't get very excitement here, but public engagement is awesome. And I appreciate all you for all your time. So thank you guys all for engaging with this. That's very valuable to all of us. And these people sit up here, when they hear from the public, it matters. So thanks for everybody spending your time.
Sure.
Now we should pay the bills.
I move we pay the bills.
I have a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I adjourn this meeting at 8:22. Thanks, everybody.
No.
You really got a wrench on it for a while to get it right. It's an awkward, and you're going to be like a pretzel trying to figure it out.
Not out of that. Yes, we do. You never start to thought
Well, I couldn't get the upper down. I finally got it.
Yeah, that was fine. There we go. That was that one.